Well, you know, folks, as we continue to go through the story, we see that what was told Paul is starting to happen. If you've been following the last couple weeks, you see what is actually going on. Paul is now having happened to him what he said the Holy Spirit told him was going to happen to him. You know, in today's world, over the last few years, there's been a couple words that have started to be used quite prominently in the news and elsewhere, and it's these words, misinformation and disinformation. You've heard those words used. How often we've heard those terms. Who determines what the truth is? You know, how do you get at the truth of something? This problem has existed throughout history. Whether those words have been used very prominently in the past or not, we could say those words could have been used here in the text this morning as we're reading about Paul and the believers in Jerusalem and the Jews that came there from Asia. Where is the truth? The answer lies in what reality really reveals. It also lies, more importantly, in the Word of God and what it states. There's a lot of polls out there that have been done about the news media. And one I grabbed from Scripps News says that only 34% of Americans trust the news. I think that's kind of high. Media is seen as political, it's seen as manipulative, it's seen as biased, it's seen as selective, it's seen as untrustworthy. And so we go to the news with skepticism. Is it true? Is it not? Is there a bias behind this? Is trying to twist things in a certain way? What is the truth? And how can we find it? People struggle with this in Paul's day, too. In what we read this morning, that's exactly what was going on. And that's exactly what got Paul nearly killed. Paul, as he comes into Jerusalem, he is at first very, very warmly received by the brothers in Christ in Jerusalem. They're so happy to see Paul. So Paul shares with them what God has been doing amongst the Gentiles, because that was his primary audience, was the Gentiles. God had called Paul to the Gentiles, Peter perhaps more to the Jews, but Paul primarily to the Gentiles, and he shares that many of them are coming to Christ, and it's a good and wonderful thing. Then the brothers who were there in Jerusalem shared what God was doing amongst the Jews, and there are thousands of Jews that were coming to Christ as well, and it was really good, really good. But then here comes the misinformation. We were told, as they say in verse 21 and following, we were told about something that you were saying to the Jews. They didn't need to be circumcised anymore, and they didn't have to follow Moses, and they didn't have to follow our Jewish customs anymore. We were told that that's what you told them. They shared that. The truth is, Paul was saying oftentimes to his Gentile audience that we are not requiring that you be circumcised as a Gentile. He wasn't saying this to the Jews. He was saying it to the Gentiles. That it's not required that you do that. It's not required that you follow the customs that you need to be circumcised. And in fact, it was even alluded to that it's not required that the Jews do it anymore. Because God says, and in fact we hear in Romans, he wants the circumcision of the heart. That's what he wants. What's most important is the relationship with Jesus Christ, not all the wrappings or trappings that come with that. But here's what they said he said, and that was not what he had said. He respected still the Jewish customs. And many of the Jews continued on with all the Jewish customs they did before, but now they did so in light of the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. And they lived in accordance with the Word of God. But here Paul was in a dilemma. Because what they said he said was not what he said. It was misinformation. It was disinformation. Now what do we do? Well, some of those leaders, disciples, those Christians in Jerusalem said, here's what I think we ought to do, Paul. We have four who are with us who want to do a Nazarite vow, which was a vow that you would do in light of circumstances, trying to seek God's will, trying to do something for God, these purification rites that we do. And they said, Paul, we want you to join with them and do this. You are still one of them. You are still a Jew. Paul would acknowledge he's a Jew of Jews. And we want you to do this while you're also still a believer in Jesus Christ. And maybe it might, here's what I'm thinking anyway, in my opinion, it might assuage some of those who are coming after you because they see that you are still following the Jewish rites and laws and customs. It will show them your commitment to God. It kind of reminds me of 1 Corinthians. In fact, I'm going to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 to 23. Paul is telling the church in Corinth, there are a lot of people out there that have a lot of different ideas and come from a lot of different perspectives, and I want to reach them for Jesus. Here's what he says, starting in verse 19 of chapter 9. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew, to win the Jews. So in this case here, perhaps that's what Paul is doing. I am going to become like them, like I already am a Jew, to show them I love them. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. I'm under grace, under Jesus, so as to win those under the law. To those not under the law, I become like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. What this text is not saying is that Paul's going to compromise his faith in order to address someone. Never is he saying that. The gospel is the gospel and will always be the gospel. But here we have this situation now in Acts where, as we read just a couple verses later, there are some issues from some Jews who came from Asia. Now, I find it interesting, if you remember, previously, Paul wanted to go to Asia to reach the believers in Asia. And he was prevented from doing so. Makes me wonder here, because, you know, we don't have the fill-in narrative. Makes me wonder if God knew, the Holy Spirit knew, if you go to Asia right now, you're going to be killed. Because they're waiting for you there. Those Jews in Asia, because it says these Jews came from Asia. And they wanted to kill him here in Jerusalem. So here he is. Paul and the believers in Jerusalem that had gathered were bending over backwards to do what they thought was best in order to reach those who were in disagreement with them. Without bending the gospel, without giving in to what they may have said, remaining true to Jesus Christ, remaining true to the gospel, remaining true to their Jewish heritage, they weren't going to give up on that. But whatever the intent, it didn't have the intended outcome, did it? Whatever the intent, it didn't have their intended outcome. The Jews from Asia saw Paul in verse 27. They stirred up lies. Here's some more information, or misinformation. more disinformation. They stirred up lies about what Paul was teaching against the Jews, and Paul was teaching against the law, and Paul was teaching against the temple, and none of that was going on. That's verse 28. They even claimed that he brought some Greeks into the holy place, which he hadn't, and it tells us there. He hadn't brought them into the holy place. He had a respect for the Jewish customs. But they said, "You brought them in there." They'd seen him earlier with them. He didn't bring them in there. But here it goes. More lies. More lies. More lies. And those lies apparently were believed by a lot of people who were gathered there, and they all were stirred against Paul, and they tried to kill him. They tried to kill Paul. Paul, in his later years, lived a life with a lot of difficulties. He went through an awful lot. He was told even back shortly after the road to Damascus experience that he was going to have difficulties in his life as a believer. But Paul didn't care. He didn't care. "All I want to do is what God has called me to do, no matter what lies ahead." What an amazing man of faith. And you know, God is calling us to that same kind of faith. Not to predetermine what we think we ought to do based on what looks like might be the easiest road to travel. Yeah, if God says we can choose this or can choose this, and he didn't tell me which I'd prefer, I'd say, "I'll choose the easier road, if that's okay with you." But we need to say, just like Jesus did, and just like Paul was saying, "God, whatever the road it is that I have to travel, I know that you're going to give me the strength to get through it. I know that you're going to give me the strength to do whatever it is I'm called to do, to endure whatever I have to endure. You will give me the strength to do so." And that's exactly what Paul believed. And so here he was, and he went through what he went through. And it's not over for Paul. This is one incident. He's had many incidents that have happened to him, and we'll hear about more. Fortunately for him, the commander was there with his Roman soldiers to take him out of the mess that would have surely ended up in death. I don't think it was the commander that did it. I think it was God that told the commander to do it. "It's not your time yet, Paul. It's not your time yet. I've got more for you to do. And God has more for you and I to do." And I don't know what kind of mess you have been in, you are in, or you will be in. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, just like Paul was tasked to do certain things, whatever it is that you have to do, whatever life it is you have to lead, know that God will be with you through all of it. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Seek his will. Seek his direction in your life. And God will sustain you. God will provide for you. Because, you know, ultimately, we live in a world where the world is telling us, and even some pastors want to tell you this, and it's not the truth. Our life in Christ is not about me. It's about bringing glory to him. And yet we want to be told and we want to hear that it's about me. I wish I could say that. I could say, "I think you'd like that better." But it's not about me. It's about him, and it's about others. So, why put myself out there? Why should you put yourself out there? Why should you say, "God, your will be done in my life"? Why do we want to do that? Ultimately, so the truth can be told. Not misinformation and not disinformation, but so the truth can be told. Paul wanted them to know the truth. And in the interim here, it was pretty difficult to get that truth out because of what was going on, the chaos that was going on there. But Paul's going to have a chance to share the truth. Why put myself out there so the truth can be told? So God can be glorified. You see, that's what we're all about. So God can be glorified. God can be glorified in the midst of your struggle. In fact, I think more glory to God comes in the struggle then comes after the struggle. Let me repeat that. I think more glory to God comes in the struggle than after the struggle. The world out there is looking at you and me in the struggle. How are we responding? Chuck it, God, I don't want anything more to do with you because I'm in a mess right now. That doesn't speak very well, does it? Or God, I don't know why I have to go through what I have to go through. I don't know what the future holds here, but I know who holds the future. And so I'm going to live for you. I want to honor you. I want you to be glorified. So believers in Jesus Christ here this morning, that's what he's calling us to do. Why put ourselves out there? So the truth can be told, so God can be glorified. And then also so that what he started in you and me, he can bring to completion. Philippians 1:6. What he started in us, he wants to bring to completion. So hang in there. Sometimes it's a roller coaster ride, but hang into those bars up front when you're going for a flip. Hang in there, because God is going to bring to completion what he started in you and me. Trust him with it. And then lastly, another verse that we ought to keep in mind when we're going through the worst of the worst is in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And it says this. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So no matter how bad the struggle gets, it's going to be really good in the end. I hope that encourages you. And you know, there may be many of us that don't have a whole lot of struggles in life. And some of you that have a lot of struggles in life. But I want you to know that God is working in your struggle. You're not struggling because God says, I want to make you struggle. In fact, oftentimes your struggles might come from the devil himself. But God is using those struggles to bring about his glorious purposes. Trust him with it. Trust him with it. And he will give you everything that you need, just like he gave Paul. We're going to read more of the stories as we continue to go through Acts. Trust him with it, because God is worth trusting with everything in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. God, we thank you and praise you that no matter what the struggle, no matter what the battle, you are here. You've never left us and you've never forsaken us. Sometimes we're called to a path that is somewhat difficult. We don't want to go there. I'm sure Paul didn't say, woohoo, I can't wait to go to Jerusalem. But he knew that's what the Holy Spirit was leading, and he wanted to trust you with everything, including his life. Help us, God, to do the same. Wherever you're leading, it may be for a while an easy and glorious and blessed, joy-filled path. It might be for a season in our life, a piece of our life that is difficult. But God, in those difficulties, people will look at us and they'll wonder how we're going to respond to it. God, help us to respond in such a way that glory goes to you as we go through our struggle. And people will point to you, not to us. I pray that for all of us in the precious and glorious and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.